Okay, so if you remember, the last thing that we discussed was whether there is in fact a chiyuv to learn the sukkah. Right, the last thing we mentioned is this mishan in sukkah. So it says, "Ini, is it really right at the bottom of Chavches Amud Beis? Ini, is it really true that you're meant to learn sukkah? Ve'ha'amar Rava, mikro masna ve'metalalta, ve'sanuye bar mi'metalalta." Rava said you're meant to learn mikro, which is Tanakh. And Mishnah, Mishnah doesn't mean Mishnah as we say it today, as I mentioned before. Mishnah means halachis, it means halachis psukos. That you're meant to learn in sukkah. But Tanui, teaching things like working out the reasoning, that you should do outside of the sukkah. The reason why is because for psukim, for halachis, it's a relatively easy limud, even if there's your surroundings are a little bit distracting, it wouldn't be a problem to do them. But things that are more complicated, you really should do in the sukkah. Right, that lichora is the reason for this opinion of Rava. Okay, the Rashi actually says that the reasoning is that you're actually mitzvah because of what you're doing. Because what you're doing is actually quite difficult to do in the sukkah, because you'll be distracted. You're mitzvah from the sukkah, and therefore there's not even a kiyum to doing them in the sukkah. You really shouldn't do these things in the sukkah. So it says loikosh. Yeah, this is not difficult. Habe migros, habe yuni. So what at the Bimigras, if you're just repeating something you already worked out, meaning just like you can repeat psukim sort of mechanically, you can repeat halachis mechanically without trying to understand them, you can repeat things you've already worked out, reasoning, you know, explanations that you've already worked out, you can repeat them mechanically, that you really should do in the sukkah. But yuni, working new things out, that already you will be mistar. You should not do that in the sukkah. Kiha de Rava ve Rami Barchama kiha vokaimi mekami de Rachita mera amirahate begmara behade hadade. Vehadar me'aine vitzvara, and this is similar to Rava and Rami Bar Chama, that what they would do when they would stand in front of Rav Chista first, they would quiz each other on all the reasons that they'd worked out, all the explanations that they'd worked out, they would quiz each other, and after that they would work out new things. Amar Rava, mane mishtia malta b'matilalta, mane michla bar mi matalalta. So Rava says you can leave cups in the sukkah pretty much permanently for the course of the chag, because even if you drank from them already, it doesn't become gross ordinarily, it doesn't become disgusting, it doesn't need cleaning urgently. Food stuff you really should take out of the sukkah as soon as you're done, because it'll become gross. It needs cleaning straight away. Chatzva v'shachel bar mimatil alta v'shraga mimatil alta. So, barrels which are used to bring water up from a well, either made from pottery or made from wood, should be kept really outside of matil alta, outside of the sukkah. And again, because they're not pleasant to be next to. But a candle you should keep in the sukkah, because you're going to need it. V'amar la, amri la, bar mimatel alta. V'le pligi habesukkah g'dela habesukkah k'tana. Right, and this, and there are some people who say that you really should leave the candle outside the sukkah. And they're not disagreeing. One, the opinion that says you should keep it in the sukkah is talking about a large sukkah. The opinion that says you should keep a candle outside the sukkah is talking about a small sukkah. And the reason is obvious. We're afraid you'll set the sukkah on fire. Okay, Yarduk Shamim. And I'm going to talk about some more about Mitzvah. Yarduk Shamim. If rain will hem down, Tana, Misha, Tisrach, Mikvah, Shel, Gerisin. So, it's considered to be enough rain such that you're Mitzvah, such that you don't want to be in the sukkah anymore when it was enough that barley soup would get ruined by the quantity of rain that just fell on it. Abaye havi ke yasev kamid rabbi yosef matzalosa nashav zika kamaisi tivusa. So, basically, what they would say, Abaye was sitting in sitting in front of Yosef, right, in the sukkah, and then the wind came and started knocking leaves from the skach down into the food, into the sukkah. Amar lo Rav Yosef panuli mane mehacha. Rav Yosef said, "Take my food out of here. I don't want to eat it if it's got leaves in it." Now Rashi says this is because Rav Yosef was what's called min anini das. He was somebody who was quite delicate. He had quite delicate sensitivities. He couldn't really tolerate any discomfort, and therefore he needed his stuff to be taken out of the sukkah when leaves was falling into it. This implies that for most people, this isn't such a problem. Even if that were true back then, I think, Bismarck, that's obvious. They were all mounting edas. They were all, you know, more delicate. Nobody likes eating food which has had leaves fall into it. Okay. So Amar le'abaye v'hasnan v'shetisracha mikpa. Abaye said, but wait, it's usually what we're talking about is that if enough water falls into ruin the dish, and here no water is falling in. Amr lei, Rav Yosef responded, Lady D, Kevin Danina Daitai, Kemisha Tisracha Mitzvadam, Mikvadamili. Because Rav Yosef responded, because I've got such delicate sensitivities, because I really can't cope with any sort of discomfort, leaves falling into my food is just like water falling into my food and ruining it. Tana Rabban, the bride said, Haya oichel besukka v'yarduk shamim v'yeru. V'yarad ein matrich noisei la'alois ad sheyigmor. The Gemara says, if you're already eating in the sukkah, and then rain fell, so you went inside, you do not have to return to the sukkah to finish your meal. And the reason why is because you're mitzvah. You're not just mitzvah because of the rain, even after rain finishes, you're mitzvah about returning to the sukkah, and therefore you don't have to. Hayei yashen tachas ha-sukkah v'yarduk shamim v'yarad. Similarly, if you are sleeping in the sukkah and then you were forced to come inside by the rain, you don't have to, the second the rain finishes, go outside to sleep, because we assume you'll be starved from the sukkah for the rest of the night. The Gemara asks, is it ye'or with an ayin or ye'or or with an aleph? Meaning, is it saying you're not chayav to go back to the sukkah until you wake up? Or is it saying that you're not chayav to go back into the sukkah until there's light outside? Right? Tashma ad she'or. And then the response was, no. You're not chayav until it's light outside. You're not chayav even while it's dark. While it's dark, even though you've woken up. V'yale amud ha-shachar. And until dawn comes. Tarti. Do we need both of these statements? Ella ima ad she'or v'yale amud ha-shachar. Rather, it must be, so you're not chayav to return to the sukkah until either you wake up or dawn came. Meaning either of those is enough to be mechayev you and returning to the sukkah, and presumably that's because dawn will usually wake them up. Meaning if you woke up before dawn, you have to come back. You have to go back to the sukkah if it's no longer raining. If dawn came, then you were going to wake up anyway, and so you would have to go back into the sukkah. Okay, so mashal amar davadome, if you remember, the Mishnah mentioned that rain falling in the sukkah during sukkahs is like kadosh baruch. It's like you know, a servant has poured water for a quarter glass or something for his master, and the master basically throws the liquid back in the servant's face. Kadosh baruch was throwing our mitzvahs back in our faces and saying it doesn't want them. I bayelahu mi shafach lemi. The Gemara says, who's doing spilling? Are we saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spilled our... Are we saying that we spilled our wine and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at us, so to speak? We're not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu well, and therefore he got angry at us, and this is a sign of his anger? Or is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu throwing our mitzvahs back in our face, like we were explained before? Tashma desanya shafach le'rabi kiseh shanad kiseh alpana ve'amar lo'i yefshi b'shimusheich. So they say, come and listen, we have a braisa that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spilt the liquid on you. It's like a master spilling liquid on the servant's face and saying, I don't want your service. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is throwing our mitzvahs back in our faces and saying he doesn't want them. Tanu Rabbanan bizman she'acham aleike. Simen ra lechol ha'olam kulei mashalom ha'adavar doymer lemelech basar adam she'asa se'udah levadav ve'hiniach panas lifneihem chas la'am ve'amar levadav tol panas mipneihem ve'shivaim ve'choshech. So it says that when the sun is covered, when the sun is being hidden, that is a bad sign for the entire world. And this is similar to if a master is angry at his slaves, and his slaves are sitting in a dark with a torch, so he says, take away the torch, so they'll have to actually sit in the dark. That's what it's similar to. Tanya, Rabbi Meir, Meir calls, Man Shema, Oroz Lokin, Siman Ralasain, Ehem, Shal Hisrael, Mipneshem, Melumodin, Bema Kaisehem. So Rabbi Meir says that when any time either the sun, the moon, the stars are being obscured, right, that is a bad sign for a Sinai Amshel Yisrael, for those who hate the Jews, right, because they are very aware of the hiding of the celestial bodies. No, those who hate the Jews is a euphemism in the Gemara for Jews who sin. Meaning the reason why they are those who hate the Jews is because they bring terrible things on the Jews, that Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes us because of them. Right, because Kol Yisrael are even lizer, because we're all responsible for each other. Mashal a sofer sheba levisa sofer ruotsu biyadai mi doeg misheragal lil kois bechol yoim veyoim hu doeg. This is similar to when a scribe who is also a teacher comes to school with a strap already in his hand. Who's going to be worried that they're going to get hit by the strap? Whoever he was hitting yesterday, whoever does bad, whoever's usually the one he punishes. Right, notice this is obviously in days of corporal punishment. The child who's going to be worried by a strap is the child who's most often punished. Tanu Rabbanan bizman she'acham aleike sinaran le'avdei kachavim levana aleike sinaran le'seinayim shel Yisrael b'nei Yisrael moinin le'levana ve'avdei kachavim lechama. So the Brisa says, another Brisa says that when the sun is obscured, that's a bad sign for Yedei Avodah Zarah, for goyim who worship other gods. When the moon is obscured, that's a bad sign for Jews who sin. Right? Why? Because Jews count their years based on the moon, and Goyim count their years based on the sun. Luka ben Mizrach, Simon Rali Yeshvi Mizrach, Ben Meirav, Simon Rali Yeshvi Meirav, Ben Sarakia, Simon Rali Cholam Kolo. If the sun is obscured only when it's in the east, then that's a bad sign for those who live in the east. If it's obscured only when it's in the west, then that's a bad sign only for those who live in the west. And if it's obscured when in the center of the sky, that's a bad sign for the entire world. Panav doimin ladam cherev ba laylam asak chitzirav ba in laylam. So if the sun is the same, turns the same color as blood, it turns red, then that means that war is coming to the world. If it turns brown like sackcloth, that means that hunger is coming to the world. The arrows of hunger is literally translation, are coming to the world. Lezu ve lezu cherev ve chitzirav ba in La'olam. If it looks a little bit like both, I mean, I presume at different times of day or something, then it says that both war and famine are coming to the world. If the sun is obscured when it's rising, then that means that punishment is going to take a while to come, but if it's obscured when it's setting, then that means it'll come very quickly. Some people say it's the opposite. And any time a nation is punished, so too the gods of that nation will be punished, because the pasuk said that when the Kadosh Baruch Hu did Marcus Bechorus and punished the Egyptians, he also punished its gods. I will judge also the gods of Egypt. Which means Israel is in Ritzayin Shalom Akayim in Misyar in Mikol Eilu Shneimar Koyam Arashem Al Derek Koyam Al Talamdu Umeisayis Hashemayim Al Teichatu Ki Yeichatu Agayim Heima Yeim Yeichatu Vein Israel Yeichatu. But when Jews are doing what Hashem wants us to do, when Jews are keeping the mitzvahs, then we're not worried about any of these signs, because the pasuk says that this is what God said: don't learn from the ways of the goyim, and don't be afraid because of the signs in the sky. Right, because the goyim will be fearful from them. goyim are fearful and not Jews are fearful. What does that mean? When Jews don't sin, then Jews are not fearful because of these signs. Tan Rabbanan Bishvil Arba Dvarim Chamaleke Al Av Bezdin Shem Meiseinu Nispad Kalacha Ve'al Nara Meiras Asher Tzakha Ve'ir Ve'in Meshiyalach Ve'al Mishkav Zachor Ve'al Shnei Achin Shenishbach Daman Kecha. So the Braisa says four things cause the sun to be obscured with all the negative things, with all the negativity that that means coming to the world. If somebody who runs a Bezdin dies and isn't eulogized adequately, people aren't sufficiently sad that he's dead. They don't give him sufficient kavod, right? Also, if there's a nara meras, if there's a woman who was betrothed and then she's a nara, she's very young, right? And she was raped in the city and she screamed, and nobody came to help her. Meaning, usually, if a woman is raped in the field, we assume that she screamed and just nobody was around to hear her. If she's raped in the city and she doesn't scream, we assume she was actually willing. And if she screams in the city, we assume somebody would come to help her. If she, in fact, did scream and nobody came to help her, then that is something which causes the sun to be obscured and punishment to come to the world. Also, Mishkov Zachor, this is not politically correct, but if homosexuality causes the sun to be obscured and punishment to be brought, come to the world. And also, two brothers that are killed at once, right? Two brothers that are killed at the same time, that causes the sun to be obscured and punishment to come to the world. And the reason why is because if that happens, then whole families can be eradicated. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an interest in at least families continuing, even when individuals cannot. And also, for four things, all of the various bodies and celestial bodies are obscured, are caused to weaken. The Kosi plaster actually explains it as being people who write for false shtaris. Remember, a shtar, the point of a shtar is it constitutes evidence that you took out a loan. Right? If you have a shtar, then not only does it constitute evidence that you owe somebody money, it means that they can actually confiscate your land to force you to pay them back. Since then, there was the Kanaska Onim, that they can also confiscate metalsalim, they can also confiscate non-real property, or, you know, movable property, to pay back the money. Although, I mean, Din Digmar, that is not, a shtar cannot be used to confiscate, and movable property can only be used to confiscate real property, or land, or slaves, which are like land. Right. So what happens, a false shtar can really be used to steal. Therefore, if somebody writes out a false shtar, then all of the celestial bodies will be obscured. And if somebody gives false edus, again, this is halacha and stealing, right? All the celestial bodies will be obscured. And if somebody raises small animals, meaning goats and sheep and animals like that, in Eretz Yisrael, that causes the celestial bodies to be obscured and the world to be punished. And the reason why is because these shepherds tend to allow the animals in the time of the Gemara to graze from other people's fields. So they were thieves. And so again, it's a third type of thievery.
And also, anybody who's cutting down
fruit-bearing trees, that'll cause the celestial bodies to be obscured and punishment to be promised to the world. And the reason why is because even if they're yours, it's like you're kicking away at the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed you with a fruit-bearing tree that'll give you food, and you're kicking at it.
Okay, so,
and for four things, the property of people gets confiscated by the government. Al mash he shtaros peruim ve'al mal ve'berivis. Ve'al shehaya safek biyadam limchoshe le'michu, ve'al shepoiskin tzedaka berabim be'ein noisnin. So, for four things, if they lose their property, the government confiscate property, if they keep shtara, if when upon receiving payment for a debt, they don't immediately give their shtar to the person who borrowed money from them. Basically, the way it works, if the lender... still has a shtar, then we assume the debt has not been paid. If the borrower has the shtar, we assume the debt has been paid. Therefore, if you keep the shtar and don't give it to the borrower when he pays you the money, then that constitutes basically almost an attempt to steal money from him, right? It's as though you're pretending he hasn't paid you, so you can collect a second time, right? Valmalvi ribbis, and people who lend money at interest. And if they see something very negative and they don't protest, they don't attempt to stop it. And also if they commit to giving staka publicly and they in fact do not do so. Shkoyach, gentlemen, we will continue tomorrow.